Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
This is Bert Harper, along with Nathan Harper, and it's our joy to be with you this weekend. We're hoping you're having a great weekend. We hope that the Lord Jesus Christ is the major part of your weekend in worship and in service. Nathan, one of my favorite things to do on Exploring Missions is to check up on people who've been with us before and see how things are going.
That's right. It's important that we do that. It's about relationships. Our lives are centered around relationships. And one of the issues of our day, or one of the concerns that modern life brings with it, is the idea of shallow relationships. We could be connected with hundreds and maybe even thousands of people through social media, but in real life, flesh and blood, shoulder to shoulder, eye to eye, we could be very shallow in our relationships. And I'm speaking to myself in conviction on that. But one of the most important relationships that we've developed here at American Family Radio, and even on this program, is from time to time catching up and keeping up with Pastor Joseph Parker. And so that's what we want to do today.
We really do. He's a brother in Christ. He's a fellow minister. He's a friend. And he's also a co-host of Hour of Intercession. When I think of Joseph, there's two big issues that always comes to my mind: prayer and a man of prayer. And I just want to tell you, here at AFA, somebody's got a prayer request, Joseph is really usually one of those that hears about it and people know he'll pray. And the other one is the issue of life, how important that is. Now, he loves the Lord Jesus. That's primary, but it's resulted in those passions in his heart that really has touched our lives. So, Joseph, with all of that said, welcome, brother.
Good to be back once again.
It is good. Don't you love that voice? Every time I hear it in the studio, I remember him on at night. Matter of fact, Nathan can remember, we'd be on our way back home on some night. We would hear that voice at night come on, and we knew, okay, everything's going to be all right.
That was a few years ago.
It was a few years ago.
So now you just go to the podcast and wait till it's dark and late at night, and you can play it at night. You still hear Joseph at night.
Yeah, that's one way.
That's the way. But we do thank you for coming. And
thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. We want to do several things, and we want to get right to them. The first thing is a report on the mobile unit for pregnancy, identification, and help and care in the Delta of Mississippi. Would you update us?
Well, God has been great and wonderful in many, many ways. The ministry's up and running and doing well. It's serving in Greenwood, Mississippi. It's operating Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in Greenwood. A staff of three precious ladies that do a wonderful job. I guess I should say four now, because actually we hired a fourth person. And the ministry's up and running. We've served quite a few clients as far as that's concerned, as far as over a period of time. We do free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds. Our staff does referrals. And also, they give away free baby items. One of the wonderful things they have the chance to do is to share the gospel and to do discipleship as it relates to our clients. And so always needing a lot of prayer and other churches to come alongside, because it's very much something God wants the church to do, not so much just a handful of people, but it's a task that needs to be carried forward by the church as a whole. But overall, things are going well. We're poised to begin to move west in the Delta, to begin to serve Mississippi Valley State a little bit further west, and then moving on to Greenville very soon. That's our goal. I'm not in position to give a date, but we hope to be moving into those communities very, very soon. So we very much need a lot of prayer from the church, as well as financial support and other support as well.
If you look on a map of Mississippi, you'll see where Greenwood is, and then follow the highway over, and it goes all the way to Greenville, which is on the Mississippi River. It's a population that is basically rural everywhere between those, but yet you got the university there, and that's an identification of ministry that is needed so much. And the Bible talks about going into those difficult places, and this has been difficult in some ways because of getting all the support that you've needed and getting everything lined up. That shouldn't keep the church from doing what they need to do it just because it's difficult, should it?
It shouldn't. And, you know, Brother Bert, I think of this like, and I my goal is to say with this humility, I really believe one of the reasons why the Lord had us to do it, I think if God gets desperate, I think he may have gotten a little desperate because I think there were other people that were supposed to have done it. Yeah. And he didn't get the cream of the crop when he got me to do it. But I'm honored to be able to do it. But to be real honest with you, the fact is that I one of my reasons why I felt like, well, Lord, I think you need to get some. I'm a pastor. I've been doing that. I've never done anything like this. But starting a 501c from the ground up and getting it moving forward. And it's been a wonderful journey, very challenging journey. One of the things I would say is that, like, one of my responses when people ask me questions is many times my best answer is, I don't know, but I can try to find out because there's so much about this kind of ministry I didn't know, but I've been learning along the way. But God has been faithful. He faithfully raised up a full $191,000 to buy the mobile unit debt-free, and it's doing its job, and the staff is doing a wonderful job serving women in the Delta. And so we desire, again, people's prayers and just prayerfully their financial support as well.
Pastor Joseph, we first want to just say thank you, and we appreciate your faithfulness to do what God has laid on your heart to do and to carry that vision into a difficult situation and in a place where there's great need, not a lot of accolade along with it. So thank you for that. But one of the things it sounds like you're saying is you would love to mobilize the church, maybe even individuals in that area, or, hey, it might not have to be somebody originally from that area. They could move there, but to kind of take part in this and see what God does with those people or the churches that are yet to get in the game, if you will, yet to take a step into this. That's one of the things when in missions in general is maybe the most key role is to mobilize. You can go yourself, and that's one person. But if you mobilize, that one person can mobilize 5, 10, 20 other people, and then the work multiplies by a great amount. And so that I know that's probably your heart. You would love to see something like that happen.
Really, really would, in it because, see, like, when it comes to the life issue, to be very honest, the church is just a critical part of every step, to be quite honest. I think of this, for example— there's a wonderful national ministry called Love Life, which encourages local churches to become what they call a house of refuge. And basically, that's a church that regularly makes a statement from the pulpit. In fact, I'm going to share the statement because it makes a powerful point about why a ministry like our pregnancy ministry is simply to be an extension of the local church. But Love Life encourages churches to become a house of refuge, and it's a church that is committing itself to help women who find themselves expecting a baby at a tough time, but they make this statement from the pulpit a number of times during the year. It says this: our church is a house of refuge. This applies to everyone in this church or people that you know that they need a place of refuge. Here's what we believe. If you find yourself in an unplanned pregnancy, please know that being pregnant is not a sin, and the child you carry is not a punishment. This child is a blessing. God is knitting this child in your womb. You may have made a sinful decision that led to this pregnancy, or you may have been sinned against or violated, but we want you to know that you are loved, and we will do whatever it takes to help you carry and care for this precious child before and after birth. We can never support or encourage a woman to have an abortion because the child you carry is made in the image of God and is innately valuable and loved by God. You need to know how we will respond. Here's what we won't do. We will not, as a church family, not tolerate gossip about you, shame you, or abandon you. This is a house of refuge, and we will not allow the family of God to harm one another with words or actions contrary to the love of God as revealed in His Word, here's what we will do. We'll do everything in our power to remove whatever obstacles stand in the way of you having this baby. There are people in this church ready to mentor you, throw you a baby shower, and connect you to resources inside and outside our church, a local pregnancy care center, and others. We'll hold men accountable for living out their calling to provide and protect women and children. Finally, if you have ever had an abortion in your past, we want you to know that abortion is not an unforgivable sin. Whoever confesses and forsakes their sin finds mercy. If you've never gone through a post-abortion Bible study, we'll be happy to connect you with one so that you can walk in complete healing and freedom. Now, the reason I share that is because that's what the local church mm-hmm. should do. Yeah. And I certainly would hope that every church listening would consider becoming a house of refuge, because the fact is many a young woman who finds herself expecting a baby at a tough time may think the church is the last place they want to come because she'll be condemned. But when she goes to church and she hears a church say, "We want to help you," it changes everything. And so a part of our goal is to encourage the church just to be the church, what we're called That's to right. do by loving these precious women. So our hope is that God would, amongst other things, reach through a ministry like ours to encourage the church to love these precious women at a time that's difficult for them many times.
So just because Roe v. Wade has been overturned, it doesn't relieve the church of the responsibility of being that place of refuge, does it?
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. And it's so important that the church really strive to fully educate itself about issues related to the life issue, because sadly, you have lots of people that know little or nothing about what has happened since Roe v. Wade was overturned. Now, no question about it, the overturning of Roe v. Wade was a good thing. That was a very positive thing. Abortion should have never been legalized in the first place 50-something years ago. But the fact is, sadly, the other side has been mobilized and passionate to push its message and what it believes to be true. And over at least eight state initiatives have been pushed through by vote to where now there are at least eight new states that have legalized abortion in their states, which are states that are wide open to abortion in ways that sometimes, in some cases, they weren't before. So the other side is passionately trying to get it state by state, get abortion legalized in each state now that they have the freedom to do that.
And so we're looking at those initiatives. They're well-financed.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their plan. They have their machine that tells their propaganda
right.
about what it really means. And their propaganda is so well presented that, oh, yeah, I see that. And really mm-hmm. it's based upon evil because it's the death of this child.
It's sad to see the other side, for example, like Planned Parenthood, to be quite a very wicked organization. They make so much money from killing babies, yet still our government gives them, I think one of the last figures I heard was over $2 million a day to do what they do. So they're very well funded. And when they come into a state, they use a lot of deception and a lot of misleading things to get people to support what they're trying to do, which is open abortion, wide open to that state. So the need today is for the church to become much more educated about things we can do. Now, and a starting place is to pray for the word and the will of God to go forward because, again, very simply, one of the Ten Commandments says, "You shall not murder." And that's pretty plain and simple. But a lot of people in our culture would be surprised as to how many people that say they're Christians who say, "Well, I'm against abortion, but I believe in a woman's right to choose." That's a wicked thing to say to begin with because it clearly violates the wisdom and the counsel of God's word. And remember, the Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions. God says, "You shall not murder." So it's wrong to take the life of any innocent human being. Abortion, 100% of the time, is murder. Now, God will forgive. The Bible is clear, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God will forgive. But we don't need to keep going down that road and say that it's okay because every baby belongs to God and is precious to Him. And the fact that we allow the murder of innocent children, our most innocent of citizens, what does that say about us as a culture and a country? So the need is for us individually and collectively, the church, to become much more passionate and committed to doing our part.
Pastor Joseph, I have a question and maybe a follow-up. So you mentioned that since the overturning of Roe versus Wade at the Supreme Court level, there's been 8 state initiatives to legalize that have passed in each of these states to legalize abortion. Those were most likely in legislative session, right? Was that a legislative vote?
Well, these were votes where people could vote on a state amendment.
Okay.
Where, again, that in some ways ties the hands of the legislature, you know, to be quite honest. And yet, again, when they say all sorts of deceptive things to where people are almost fearful to not support it, and many times they just lie and say things that will happen. Almost sometimes they'll say, well, women won't be able to get the care they need, for example, say when a woman has a miscarriage. So many deceptive lies that aren't true at all, yet their machine knows how to go in using advertising, using promotion, using social media to say things that aren't true. Mm. And so there's a need for the church, again, to educate ourselves about what's going on. And even in states like Mississippi, abortion is outlawed. But what is so sad is, sadly, we have an administration that supports abortion to the point where it's very easy to get the chemical, get a chemical abortion. And sadly, lots of women in our state, that's what they do. And even to this day, many pregnancy clinics, including ours, see significant numbers of abortion-minded women. And so even in states where it's illegal, many times the problem is not addressed. So the need is for the church to speak the truth and help change people's hearts about the issue.
So the church, upcoming voting seasons, the church needs to be active in that. And there's opportunity there for churches in different states to let their voice be heard through voting, but also in whatever political arenas. But mostly what you're saying is in their local communities, they're hurting women and they can be involved by becoming a place of refuge. As you were reading that earlier, I was just thinking that's just the good news lived out. That's the living out the incarnation of good news in a local body, sharing good news of Jesus with people that are hurting and in need to hear that. And they're all around us every day.
You know, it's something to really think about this. How often, for example, you may have a young woman who she may not look like she's pregnant. She doesn't look like it at all, but she goes to church and she's desperate. And she's very self-conscious typically at church because she's just afraid somebody's going to find out and they're going to condemn her, say terrible things about her, and really come down on her. But to hear a church say, "We want to help you if you find yourself pregnant at a tough time." What a wonderful thing, because again, instead of being afraid of the church, she's thinking, I need to go talk to some mature lady here and tell her I need this church's help. And the fact is there's so much people can do. You know, I'm of the opinion that it's wise for every church in a given county, find all your local pregnancy clinics, put them in your budget. Why not? Because again, the pregnancy clinic is an extension of the church, whether people believe that or not. You know, I think they should throw the term parachurch organization out of our vocabulary.
They're an extension of
the church. But at the same time, church is saying, hey, we're going to send volunteers to the local pregnancy clinic. We're going to send you all the diapers that you need. We're going to baby clothes, all kinds of things like that. Pregnancy clinics can use a lot of help. But the fact is sometimes they're kind of left out in the wilderness. You know, I recall having a conversation with someone who works with one of the busiest pregnancy clinics in the state of Mississippi. And I recall asking on a given occasion, they'd done a survey where there were like 500 and something churches in that part of the state. Asked how many churches support you? And the person kind of pitifully chuckled and she said 13. Well, what a tragedy that so many churches don't see it as a part of their mission to work with those that help to save babies. So the church should decide we're going to be deliberate. Find our local pregnancy clinics. We're going to pray for them daily. We're going to send volunteers. We're going to give financially. We're going to see how can we help you carry your mission forward. That should be happening all over the place.
And what happens? A lot of times, not just the baby's life is changed and saved, but the lady who came in, because of the witness of the church, because of the witness of those individuals, they give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and become followers. Can you think of a more effective mission ministry than the crisis pregnancy centers around you that are Christian, that know the Lord, that, listen, you can send your money a lot of other places, but I want to tell you, if you get, let me say this, you get more than just the finances of it. You get the prayers, you get the concern, you mm-hmm. get the volunteers. So churches being involved, let me just share, they're doing wrong. They're ignoring a real opportunity to make a difference.
Right. And, you know, I think of, for example, I like to share this story. Miss Nancy Pennington is the precious lady. She's been the director of the pregnancy clinic in Clarksdale for years and years. And she shared on one occasion that they've seen at least 500 people get saved through their ministry. Now, that's more than what a lot of churches could say.
Yes.
So evangelism and discipleship is just an inherent part of the work of the pregnancy clinic. And many times, for obvious reasons, the women find themselves vulnerable at a tough time. And they're open to not only help, but they're open to hearing the gospel in some wonderful ways.
You know, as you were talking about how it seems at this point in our time of where we are in our society that after Roe versus Wade and that decision, churches, many, and Christians individually, many are kind of maybe hands off of this issue a little bit, backing up from the issue, thinking maybe the battle's won. Maybe the war is over. Maybe we did what we came to do, and now we can kind of move on to something else or take a back seat or rest. You know, I'm thinking about, and forgive me, this is a sports analogy, but you see a lot of times in a football game, one team will score. They'll march down the field and drive down the field, and they'll score a touchdown. And then the defense gets on the field, and they let up because they think, hey, we scored a touchdown. We're ahead. We've got it made. And the next thing you know, they get behind because they've kind of taken their foot off the gas, if you will. Is that sort of what the church has done, you think?
Well, I guess in a roundabout way you could say that, in that because, again, you have – this is one of those issues that people the devil tries to make it complicated. The devil tries to say – well, men don't understand these how it affects women, or sometimes people say, well, men ought to stay out of this. Well, you know, it's so important for us to stick with God's word, which helps us to understand things correctly. It's a foolish thing to say men ought to stay out of this because there's a man in the picture 100% of the time. But the reality is this, that our society says, well, it's a woman's decision. And, of course, if a woman's pregnant and she decides to get an abortion, she legally can make the decision all by herself. But many times, one of the needs is for us to understand that it is an issue to be dealt with. Like, God's plan is that men and women will get married first before they get involved sexually and have babies as well. But when that doesn't happen, the man many times doesn't have a say at all. Now, there are times in which sometimes the man wants to keep the baby, but he doesn't have a say. But there are other times where the woman, she will do whatever her boyfriend or her husband says. And too often you have men that don't want to be men. To be quite honest, a man that won't stand up for his own child is a wimp, to be quite honest. Real men stand up for what's right. Yeah. He should say, yeah, I'm going to help you care. I'm going to help you take care of this baby, and we're going to work together to help raise the child. But too often men will sometimes say, well, I'll do whatever you want. That's not being a Christian man, because, again, he's saying, well, if you choose to murder our baby, you know, that's a wrong perspective, and that's not the way men are supposed to think. But many times she will do what he says. And I think of cases where, like, for example, a woman I've heard of our staff talk about, like where a woman comes and she really wants to keep the baby, and she asks the boyfriend, and his response is, I'm not ready to be a daddy. And so she does what he says. Well, how sad. Because, again, he should have thought about that before he got involved with her sexually. But the fact is, real men will stand up and say, I want my baby. I want to support my baby. I want to help take care of my baby. That's the way men think. And so, again, it goes back. All these issues go back to discipleship issues. Teaching people how to be Christians who stand on Christian principle. Teaching men to be men, women to be women, but also families to do things God's way. And so, it's important to know there's never a case where an abortion's okay, because God has already said, you shall not murder. So there are no exceptions. And people say, well, what about in the case of rape or incest? Well, again, rape is a terrible crime, and it's wrong, and the perpetrator should be punished. But the fact is, when a child is conceived, It's always from the hand of God. The devil can't conceive children.
That's right.
And so it's important to know to murder the baby for the crime of the daddy is wrong. That's another crime on top of another crime. So it's important to know that the counsel of God's church is to be consistent with Scripture and shared in love, but we're to always boldly speak the truth because that's what the world needs to hear.
Time is getting away. Is there any way people can find information about the mobile unit that is serving Greenwood, Mississippi, and going west? What could they contact or help? How would that happen?
Again, the website is deltapchc.org. Again, that's PCHC is short for Pregnancy Care and Hope Center. But again, deltapchc.org. And they can go online to learn more about the ministry. If they'd like to give financially, they can do that as well. But I would challenge and encourage every single listener, make it your goal to pray daily for your local pregnancy clinic. Find your local pregnancy clinic and call them up and say, what can I do to help? Because to be honest, they don't get many calls like that. But there is a need for more people to just to be willing to help. I think, like, for example, with our mobile unit, we have a wonderful group of men called the Pit Crew, and they help maintain the mobile unit.
Amen.
But to be honest, we don't have enough. And I hate to think that we're running them ragged, but because the mobile unit is functioning every week, and that unit has to be maintained. We need more men that will say, hey, I'm going to give my time, effort, and energy to help maintain the unit. And you don't have to be a mechanic to do it, you know, to be able to just help maintain the ins and outs of a mobile unit like that. But also, just baby items, people that will give diapers and the different kinds of things that are just helpful to a young mom at a time like that. And, you know, lots of our gifts are what we'd kind of call small gifts, but those small gifts add up so quickly. And so people that are willing to give whatever they're willing to give is appreciated.
Amen. Joseph, again, it's always a joy to have you and appreciate it. Nathan,
thank you.
It's always... I know it's always a deep, difficult subject. Yeah. When I say difficult, not to make it, it's easy to say, yes, life, but difficult to talk about in certain circumstances with people. Yeah. But with Pastor Joseph, it's always a delight to have him and hear his
Absolutely.
Heart, isn't it?
It's encouraging for the church to rise up, to be the church, to live out that good news with people around them in whatever situations those people find themselves in.
And if you're looking for a way to spend mission money, find that pregnancy center in your area and support it. Volunteer, pray, give, and let God use you. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions, and we pray that you will continue staying on mission for God.